there's a ton of noise out there. So how do you get decision makers to pay attention to your brand? Start a podcast and invite your ideal clients to be guests on your show. Learn more at sweetfishmedia.com.
You're listening to B2B Growth, a daily podcast for B2B leaders. We've interviewed names you've probably heard before, like Gary Vaynerchuk and Simon Sinek, but you've probably never heard from the majority of our guests. That's because the bulk of our interviews aren't with professional speakers and authors. Most of our guests are in the trenches leading sales and marketing teams. They're implementing strategy. They're experimenting with tactics. They're building the fastest growing B2B companies in the world. My name is James Carberry. I'm the founder of Sweetfish Media, a podcast agency for B2B brands, and I'm also one of the co-hosts of this show. When we're not interviewing sales and marketing leaders, you'll hear stories from behind the scenes of our own business. We'll share the ups and downs of our journey as we attempt to take over the world. Just kidding. Well, maybe. Let's get into the show. Welcome back to B2B Growth. I'm Logan Lyles with Sweetfish Media. I'm joined today by Carrie Held. She is the Strategy Director of Employee Engagement at Siegel & Gale. Carrie, thanks so much for being on the show. How's it going today?
It's going really well. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Carrie, we're going to be talking about some specific strategies around employer branding and employee engagement today. For a little bit of context in why you're joining us to speak on these topics that you're so passionate about, Carrie, can you give us a little bit about your background and also what you and the team at Siegel & Gale are up to these days?
Absolutely. So here at Siegel & Gale, we are a full-service brand experience agency. We work with clients sort of across many different industries in building net new brands as well as recreating brands. And the work that my team does is focused around employee engagement and employer branding. So essentially making sure that the people and culture piece of the brand is aligning. And so thinking about everything from if there is a, if there's a rebrand, how are we making sure that we're bringing people along for the ride? How are we making sure that we are inclusive, of everybody on the team, giving them, both, from a hiring perspective, from a giving people the tools and training they need to get their jobs done well, and also, around how are we actually driving brand into behavior so that it doesn't become something that's just, a new logo or a new magnet or something that's sitting on the wall, but it's actually something that's being embedded into the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really excited to have this conversation with you, Carrie, because I've seen some of the content that you put out and you seem to be very passionate about this connection between employee engagement and employer brand. And one of the things I've been talking with a lot of folks about lately is that, employee experience often heavily influences, if not greatly dictates, customer experience. And everyone that I talk to, whether they're in customer success, marketing, or sales, taking a holistic look at customer experience is a very important topic these days. So I'm excited to unpack the correlation between these two. Can you speak to that a little bit? I've heard you say that, it's really important to drive on-brand experiences from the inside out. Can you talk about that connection and what you mean about this inside out methodology?
Sure. So, I think at the core of it is the notion of, happy employees leading to happy customers, right? And so, we are certainly in the era of glass box brands, if you will, where people can see, there's no more hiding and saying, we as a brand stand for X, when actually, there's a lot going on within the organization that are not setting people, setting your people up to be able to actually deliver on that brand experience. And so thinking about how to, really define, and, we are here at Siegel & Gale, a simplicity company. And so we're always coming back to finding simple, meaningful ways of connecting both customers and employees to the brand. And so thinking about, if this is, being really clear on the purpose of the organization and what you're set out to do as a brand and what makes you different and special, and then getting really clear on, what is our philosophy around how we get that done, how we interact with each other and how we interact with our customers. And then how do we hire for those characteristics, right? If we're looking for people to deliver a certain kind of experience, how do we make sure that we're hiring the right kind of people who can do that? across the organization. And that's both the right fit technically, as well as the right fit sort of emotionally. Do they have the skills that they need to be able to deliver what we're expecting of them? Are we giving them the right tools and training and messaging to be able to deliver on that? And again, are we actually as an organization, I think this gets back to the glass box piece, are we walking the talk? Are we demonstrating, are leaders demonstrating the behaviors that we're asking, the team members to do throughout the organization? Are we standing for something as a brand and as a company in a way that that lines up with what we're putting out in the world?
I love your comment there about simplicity, Carrie. About this time last year, almost 12 months ago, our team went through an exercise. We had, 7 or 8 core values, and they were listed in a blog post somewhere. But even if you asked all the members of our team, which was even smaller at that point, we're not a massively large organization, it was a small percentage of folks that could probably list all of those off. And over the last year, we went through an exercise to boil down our core values to 3 that were very succinct, very simple, and the most important to us. And today, I think if you took that same poll throughout our organization, just about everyone would be able to repeat, our 3 core values, because not only did we simplify them, but we worked them into our daily conversation in a lot of ways. We touched there on employee engagement. And I think like customer experience, like sales and marketing alignment, it's a buzzword. It's a term that we're talking about a lot these days, but if you ask 10 different people, you might get 9 or even 10 different answers. Can we camp out on that just for a second? As you're consulting with clients, I imagine you're kind of drawing the line between what is employee engagement and what isn't it. Can you kind of unpack that loaded term for us a little bit with the work that you guys are doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think a couple things. I think one, the difference to us between, actual engagement and say employee experience, right, is I think a lot of times you'll hear companies or you'll, read blog posts or see companies talking about, our employees are highly engaged because, we have foosball tables in the office. We have, cake parties every week. We have all these events that we do. We have, those could all be great things that create a great employee experience that would essentially create a great employee experience for almost anyone. I think true engagement comes when there is alignment between the business goals and brand, right? And the people who are working there, when they feel like there's a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning behind what they're doing, where it's right fit talent. Feeling engaged with your work, the work that you're doing every day, because it's the kind of work that you are, where you're learning and growing, and you're sort of in the right position and feel aligned with where the brand is going overall and with the people that you're sort of on that journey, if you will, with, then I think that gives you the ability to feel truly engaged versus, I'm having a great experience. It's almost, you can almost liken it to dating a person for the wrong reasons. Like you like where they take you. You might like some of the parties you go to, but like when it comes to the end of the day, you need to like the person. And I think that's true for companies too. I think true engagement means that you feel a sense of connection to the work that you're doing and to the people that you're doing it with. And that, the simplicity of the brand and the way that it's connecting people is a real opportunity to make that happen.
Yeah, I love that analogy. We have dating analogies in sales and marketing all the time. I love the way that you drove it home there when it comes to employee engagement, talking about it's not just a superficial relationship because, we have happy hour on Fridays and we have ping pong tables that, contribute to an experience, but at the heart of the matter, the connection to purpose is more important to that engagement piece. You mentioned simplicity again. Are there some specific things that you recommend to folks, Carrie, or your team does when it comes to simplicity and employee engagement? Are they making it too complicated? Are there some common pitfalls that you guys see as you're working with clients?
Yeah. Well, I think your example earlier, Logan, around, the having, 8 values instead of 3 was a great one. I think oftentimes if we're going in to work with a client, whether it is, around an entire brand platform or more specifically around a talent brand platform, oftentimes we're not creating something or coming up with a brand new idea. We are helping them to find their center of gravity. Right. And so oftentimes there's just too many things and it's too complicated. And to your point, people can't remember what it is, you know, what it is we stand for. And if you stand, it's like, if you stand for everything, then you stand for nothing. Or I think I'm getting that, that quote not exactly right, but really finding what is it? What is our North Star? What is our center of gravity? What is the thing that if all else goes away, we really stand for? And I think helping to define that in a way, and clarify that in a really simple way for people so that, you know, if they're out at a cocktail party and someone asks them about, you know, what is the company's purpose or what is it that you do, that it's really simple and easy for them to explain. I think it sets both, you know, that individual as well as the company up for success. And the other thing I'll say about that is that having, you know, when you've done that well, and when there is this sort of simple, clear way around what that value proposition is, it allows it to really act as a filter for decision making, right? So whether it's a large decision that the company needs to make at a strategic level or a smaller day-to-day decision, you know, within a one-on-one customer interaction, when people are really clear about what the company stands for, what the values are, what they're trying to achieve, it allows sort of everybody within the organization to be able to make decisions based on that, which I think has a huge impact on the customer or client experience as well.
Hey everybody, Logan with Sweetfish here. You probably already know that we think you should start a podcast if you haven't already. But what if you have and you're asking these kinds of questions? How much has our podcast impacted revenue this year? How's our sales team actually leveraging the podcast content? If you can't answer these questions, you're actually not alone. This is why Casted created the very first content marketing platform made specifically for B2B podcasting. Now you can more easily search and share your audio content while getting greater visibility into the impact of your podcast. The marketing teams at Drift, Terminus, and here at Sweetfish have started using Casted to get more value out of our podcasts, and you probably can too. You can check out the product in action at casted.us/growth. That's casted.us/growth. All right, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. You know, it kind of comes back to that simplicity, right? It gives you a filter. It gives you a framework for decisions, whether that's staffing, whether that's, you know, org chart decisions, that's, you know, hiring decisions. We were just talking about this the other day. You know, two of our core values, one is love people well, and another is own the result, which is all about, you know, not just doing your job and owning, you know, your input, but when you hit something, when you hit a wall, an obstacle, you need to think creatively to get to that end result and taking ownership of it, that those two, oftentimes it can be a balancing act, right? Especially for those in management. How do you encourage people to own the result and push for that accountability, but also love them well and doing it in a loving manner? And so it was funny how it came up in conversation the other day of just like, well, this seems like a scenario where you need to balance both of those, and just gave us that common language. So I can speak to that simplicity, you know, just being a benefit on a very day-to-day basis. You mentioned something there, Carrie. We talked a little bit about recruiting, attracting talent based on what your brand stands for. Can you give us some thoughts on making the brand attractive and drawing in, as you mentioned earlier, folks that align with the core values of the company and also, you know, attractive to customers at the same time? Because I think sometimes employer branding can be used synonymously with recruiting. And if you could speak to maybe some of the differentiation there, how to go about both of those effectively, you know, simultaneously.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I think sometimes, you know, we've had the experience recently with a few clients this year where actually their brand recognition was a bit of a double-edged sword for them. So we were doing a lot of work with sort of a very well-known client in the tax industry. And sort of they're very, you know, everybody thought of them in one way, and yet they were trying to attract a very different kind of talent at the corporate level. And so I think, you know, it's a challenge because in one sense, it's great. Everybody's heard of you. In the other sense, it's not great because everybody's heard of you and thinks of working there, you know, oh, what it must mean to work there. I have to be an accountant or I have to be somebody who's, you know, filing taxes. And so one of the things that we focus on here at Siegel & Gale is first, you know, we are a facts-based, data-driven company. So we're always trying to gather our facts first and understand who is it that we're trying to attract? And also, what is the culture? What is the actual culture of this company? And what are the things that they're doing that people may not know about? And then aligning those two things together. And so one of the things that we are, you know, we focused on with this client was getting a sense of, okay, if you're looking to attract a new kind of talent and really focusing on, you know, engineers might not think of this place as being the right place to work for them. But when you start to unpack and uncover, you know, what all of the things that the company is doing and the fact that to work there as an engineer, you'd actually get to get your hands on, you know, the development of new products, and that engineers are actually, you know, always looking to solve problems and be able to be connected to the end product. You know, we were sort of uncovering all that, and that allowed us to create an employee value proposition and messaging that was true to the organization, but also would attract a new kind of talent. And so I think gathering those facts and understanding more about, you know, the actual culture of the company and, you know, what else they do besides what, you know, what people know them out there in the world for at the brand level was really critical.
I love it. So it seems like one of your strategies for your clients is to, as you mentioned, discover what people may not know about the brand. And I kind of think about this concept of the curse of knowledge, right? We kind of get blinded to what's right around us, and we may not realize, oh, hey, there's actually value here. We should tell this story because this would be engaging to this, you know, target candidate pool, just like the example that you just shared, Carrie, which I think was a great one. You know, obviously bringing in someone from the outside with fresh perspective like you guys adds value because of that curse of knowledge. Are there some small ways or some common areas that you guys look at if folks listening to this are trying to uncover those little hidden gems that they don't necessarily realize could be those differentiators or those right, you know, attractive things for their potential employee candidate pool? Are there some specific areas or common things that you guys suggest folks look at that maybe folks listening to this could start to think about within their own organization?
Sure. I think to when it comes to looking, you know, inside or sort of holding the mirror up, if you will, within your own organization, you know, there's obviously if we're going in and working with clients, we're often doing focus groups and interviews. And so if there's ways to really, you know, spend some time talking to the people, like, you know, identifying who are the people, you know, who are your top talent, who are you trying to replicate, and understanding what are those characteristics that make them great? What are the kind of people that really work with, you know, well within this organization? Because that's, you know, look, that's another piece too, right? It's everybody is not right for every company. You know, you could be a rock star in one place and then you move into a different culture and things, you know, there's red tape and there's things that are getting in your way and you're not able to deliver in the same kind of way. And so really getting clear on, you know, getting clarity around what, you know, what the culture is doing well and what opportunities might exist, I think is huge. Talking to a lot of people, but especially to people who you think are the type of people you want to replicate and understanding what are some of those characteristics, both culturally and individually.
Right. I love that idea of, you know, getting internal feedback from the folks that, as you say, you might want to replicate. You just got to be careful. You know, you don't want to do it in the office space sort of way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's kind of wrap the conversation here, Carrie, with some best practices, some tips, some advice out there for folks when it comes to their employer brand. You guys do a lot of consulting with clients. You've shared some great insights into, you know, really thinking about employee engagement in a different way. And as we started the conversation, that employee engagement can feed into, you know, what exists as your employer brand. So as folks think about the importance of their employer brand, and what to start working on there today. Is there some advice you want to leave with folks today before we wrap up?
Sure. So I think one is it harkens back to the idea of, you know, if you've got that clarity where employees are able to have some freedom and make decisions because there's such simplicity in the purpose of the brand and the purpose of the company and sort of synchronicity amongst the culture. I think you're able to give employees more opportunities to actually, you know, utilize ideas both internally and externally. So, you know, one example that I think is great is the company Booking.com, where they actually gave all of their employees GoPros to go out on vacation and capture experiences. So, you know, again, in this glass box brand world, you know, the more that you've got people, certainly from a talent and recruiting perspective, the more that you've got employees themselves out there in the world sharing their experiences, you know, on LinkedIn, on any other form of social media, the more it's believable, right? Because people will believe what they're hearing from actual employees themselves more than they will from, you know, from senior leadership of the brand. So finding new and creative ways, I think, to connect employees to the brand in that way and get them out there talking about it in an organic way, I think is a great opportunity. I think, you know, as we sort of started off talking about, we are, you know, a brand experience firm, and just as customers are looking for that full, looking for and expecting that full brand experience, employees are as well. And so I think one of the things that we work with our clients around is, you know, shifting, you know, even when it comes to how they talk about, you know, the benefits of working for the organization, not just focusing on traditional benefits, but really thinking about what does it mean to work here? What do you, you know, what's the give and the get of working here? Why is it, what makes us different and special? And really focusing their messaging around that on, you know, the things that, you know, we move fast, you know, we move that quickly here. You won't have to deal with, you know, with red tape or hierarchy, whatever it is that makes that organization special, focusing on those benefits as opposed to just sort of the traditional monetary or, you know, HR benefit packages. And then lastly, I think, you know, there's so much talk around, obviously, you know, in today's world around corporate social responsibility and CSR. And I think there's a real opportunity for companies to, you know, make sure that they're not just sort of trying to check the box there, but if it's something, if they're going to own that as part of who they are as a brand and who, you know, who they are both as an overall, you know, overall brand as well as an employer brand, that they're really making sure they're being thoughtful about, you know, are the efforts that we're choosing to engage in on brand for us? Are we making decisions about, you know, where we're going to put our efforts and how we're going to support our employees and where they put their efforts in a way that aligns with who we are as a brand and feels honest.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you brought it back to a way that feels honest. What you touched on earlier in making it feel organic, I think, was really important in those last three pieces of advice that you shared, Carrie. You know, you talked about giving employees creative ways to share their experience with the brand and not in a forced way, right? Like, here are your 10 approved tweets that you can push out on your social channels, that sort of thing, which I think the booking.com with the GoPros was a really great example. So that was one. The other piece of advice I heard you say is highlight the unique benefits that you have and not just kind of your standard quote unquote HR benefits, but what are the things that are unique about your organization? And then be thoughtful about, you know, what stand and what contributions are you making from a corporate social responsibility piece and how can that tie to your potential candidate pool? Because I'm no statistician, but I've heard on other podcasts and a lot of different places that a large part of the workforce right now, the millennial generation of which I am a part, those social responsibility pieces are important, that the purpose piece is very important to this generation, which is making up a larger and larger part of the workforce and the leadership part of every workplace. So I really appreciate those last three pieces of advice that you shared with folks. Carrie, if anybody listening to this would like to go deeper on this topic, stay connected with you or ask any follow-up questions of you and the team over at Siegel & Gale, what's the best way for them to reach out or stay connected with you guys?
Sure. So our website is siegelgale.com. It's SIEGELGALE.com. You can find us on LinkedIn at Siegel & Gale. On Twitter, it's at Siegel Gale. On Instagram, is at Siegel Gale. And also feel free to email me directly. It's kheld, K-H-E-L-D, at Siegel Gale, SIEGELGALE.com.
Carrie, thanks so much for sharing that. This was a really fun conversation. We think a lot alike in driving brand experiences from the inside out, kind of where we started the conversation today. So I really appreciate you sharing some practical advice with listeners today.
Great. Thank you so much, Logan. Have a great afternoon.
We totally get it. We publish a ton of content on this podcast, and it can be a lot to keep up with. That's why we've started the B2B Growth Big Three, a no-fluff email that boils down our three biggest takeaways from an entire week of episodes. Sign up today at sweetfishmedia.com/big3. That's sweetfishmedia.com/big3.